Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sci-Fi Dig. I am your host, Aaron, and this week I'm going to talk about the DC app. I want to talk about some streaming things that I've been using, as well as a few box sets. I'm going to try to do a Blu-ray or DVD box set on a regular basis to let people know what is out there, because now's the time that you can probably find some good deals on those things. Anyway, the DC app. Everybody's coming up with their own streaming service, right? And it just seems to be a lot of them, and a lot of things people want you to subscribe to. And I understand that, you know, you can only do so much. You can only, you know, when we're living in an age, everybody's getting rid of their cable, we're getting rid of, you know, any kind of like satellite paid TV, then we're all buying apps, you know. So you buy two or three or four apps, you know, or services, and you're paying, you know, usually roughly about $10 a month, sometimes as much as $15. But the DC app was something that was in the works for a while. DC was talking about they wanted to make their, they wanted to make their whole DC universe, you know, available. They were going to do this whole thing with, having their own shows. And, you know, obviously, since it's an app, they don't have to worry about age restrictions or things like that. I think a lot of that is they realized that their comic base, the people that are reading comics, is definitely older. It's not younger. And, you know, I think a lot of times I think that comics are a dying medium in some aspects. We're never going to see those days where everybody was selling hundreds of thousands of copies of each title every month. You know, I think that they're still viable, and we have a lot of companies coming out. And, what we're seeing now, I think, is a lot of comic companies coming out and creating properties in comics, and then trying, the point being to sell those for entertainment, for a movie or a film. Or, you know, a streaming service, a television series, whatever, just trying to make their money that way off their content. And on one hand, you know, yeah, I mean, I like that kind of stuff, so I'm not going to get too upset. But on the other hand, it is, it kind of takes away from the comic experience in a lot of ways. Anyway, that's a whole different rant. So DC is going to bring out this thing. They were really pushing the Titans, showing everybody that they were going to have the Titans, you know, television show, TV series, streaming series, whatever. I'm still going to call it a television show. I'm probably still going to call it a TV series, even though it's not necessarily on TV. I wasn't really interested, because my whole thing was, you know, why would I pay a monthly subscription fee when I can just wait till the whole thing's out and then pay for 1 month? And then it's only 10 episodes. So that's one episode every 3 days, you know. So I figure, 20 minutes a day, right? And in 1 month, you kill it. I probably kill it in 3 days, but whatever. So I was going to just wait. And they kept pushing this, the deal that they had, which was that they were trying to sell you a year. And if you bought a year before it launched, they gave you 3 more months for free. And it was $75. So for 15 months, it was $75. And I thought, well, you know, that's not a bad deal. You know, we're looking at $5 a month. You know, I can do that. Then I was like, why would I buy it? You know, why wouldn't I just wait till it was over? Unless the show was really good, in which case it's like, it's kind of like that water cooler TV. It's kind of cool to see it when it comes out and talk about it. Yeah. So I was kind of waffling on it. Well, then they started to announce some of the comics they were going to have on the service. And I was like, okay, you just sweetened the pot for me, because if I can get an all-you-can-eat buffet of DC comics and read them whenever, kind of like Marvel. I thought it was going to be like Marvel Unlimited, where Marvel Unlimited, they're slowly putting their entire library up on there. And after 6 months, you know, 6 months after something goes to print and ends up on there, you have to wait 6 months before you can read it on their service. And that's fair. You know, that's not a big deal. With so many comics to read, I mean, that's not a huge thing. And I don't have to be up to date on the comics. I can sit down and read a story here and there. So I was like, well, that's not bad. I mean, because if I read, you know, 2 comics a month, it pays for itself. I mean, that's how much 2 comics would cost me they cost me more than $5. I mean, comics $3 to $5 a piece. And I figured, that's a good deal. You know, I'm all in. So I ended up getting it, and I've been watching the Titans, and I love it. It's a good show. I don't want to give away any spoilers or anything, but let's just say that it's very adult. It's very action oriented. And there's a lot of blood, because, well, there's a lot of fighting. So it's not for kids. It's not your Teen Titans Go. It's definitely adults. There's, you know, some hard language. They're not afraid of using the F-bomb. And I like it. I like what they're doing with it. I like the fact that two episodes in and I can already see that every episode is going to have a story, and then we're going to have that hook for the entire overall story for the season. So they're doing it right, you know. I was just making this comparison yesterday about bingeable TV versus dropping something weekly. And, you know, it's nice to be able to have somebody make an entire series and drop the whole thing, and then you can watch it. You know, it's kind of fun that you can just burn right through it. But as much as I love a show like Daredevil, I can probably tell you what season something happened, but I certainly can't tell you what episode, because I haven't had a week to mull it over. I haven't had a week for that to sink in. You know, I watched the whole thing. I'm not even sure what episode I'm on or where I'm at. I mean, when I'm ready for bed, I just pause it, turn off Netflix. The next day, I turn it on, and I just resume where I left off, whether it's in the middle of an episode or beginning of an episode. And it all kind of comes together. Now, I think that we saw, like, with the first season of Iron Fist, where everybody complained about. Personally, I liked it. But, you know, one of the things that they did, I felt that was wrong, but the pacing was off. And I think that's because since they wrote the whole thing as one story and they were dropping it all at once, there was no reason to kind of give you an episode by episode story and then have the overarching thing go throughout the episodes. Like sometimes we'd have an episode that would have 40 minutes of character development and, you know, 10 minutes of actual story. And those episodes were kind of slow and boring. But then you might have an episode that would have more action and less of that. And it didn't really feel right. Where I think if you're doing something weekly, you want to do something to bring the people back the next week. I think this is especially true on regular network television because they want you to keep on watching. Something like that you're paying for, an app you're paying for, well, you're probably going to come back and watch because you've already paid for it, right? But, you know, I feel that rhythm is what you need in order to keep people sated for the episode. And I would say that there's a couple of things I was thinking, trying to think back through some shows that I thought really got it right. And granted, these are going to be older shows, but I think that something like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or even Dollhouse, you know, I felt, not that I didn't really love Dollhouse, but they definitely had the right mix, you know, of having a story per episode, but also always having that one little bit, that one 30-second bit or one 2-minute bit or 5-minute bit that tied it into the overarching season story, you know, and I thought they did that right. So, you know, anyway, back to DC Universe. So I'm all in on Titans and I'm enjoying everything. And I've read a few of the comics on there and I like it. Here's the caveat to the whole thing. The thing that is kind of getting under my skin. I don't understand what the game plan is here. I don't understand why they're doing this. But one of the things they're doing is they're featuring comics. So they feature something and then they pull it off the service. And to me, that doesn't make any sense. If you're going to have this, then just have everybody, just put everything on there so that we can, you know, or whatever you have available, put it on there so we can all read it and we don't have to just, you know, read whatever your feet, you can feature something, but don't make it go away. Don't pull it off the service when you're done. I don't understand the game plan behind that. And maybe somebody else out there could have an explanation for me, but I don't get it. Because I think that if you have a service that you're paying $5 a month for, it has all the comics you want on there, then why would, you know, one of the biggest things in comics right now is everybody complains about pirating comics. You know, I can go find comics anywhere on any of the, you can find a torrent for comics anywhere. If that's how you want to get them, it's not, you know, you can read comics online without touring them. You know, you can do it for free, but you're offering a service people are paying for and you're taking these comics off. So if I'm into something and I'm halfway through something and then suddenly you pull it off the service, I don't know when it's going to be back. Well, if I want to finish that story, I'm not going to go to Comixology and buy it because I'm already paying you. I'm going to justify that and I'm going to go download it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand the game plan. I don't understand why, you know, the marketing behind that is. If you're going to have a service, put it all up there. Let everybody get what they want to get and read what they want to get. You know, you're presenting them with a buffet and then pulling away the meat, you know, after, you know, 5 minutes. It doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, so I want to talk a bit about that, you know, what I recommend it for $5 a month. It looks like the shows are going to come out quick enough as far as like when one series is over, the next series is up, that it makes it worthwhile for new content. If you like any of the animated things, the animated series, there's a lot on there. They have Static Shock on there. The Legion of Superheroes is on there. I love that show. Batman Beyond and the Justice League cartoon, both the regular and the Justice League Unlimited. They have the Super Friends on there. They have the Superboy. It was a Saturday live action. They have Superman the Animated Series, Batman the Animated Series. They have Constantine on there. They have Birds of Prey on there. I want to go back and watch Birds of Prey and see if they kept the original music. If you guys remember, many, many, many years ago, I did a breakdown of the Birds of Prey episodes and talked about the difference between the music that aired on TV and the music they replaced it with on the DVD set. But I'm curious what they went with for the streaming service, if they went with the original or they went with what was on a DVD set. Lois and Clark is on there. Wonder Woman is on there. The Legend of the Superheroes, there was two movies that played... I think they played 1 week apart on like NBC or something, and man, they look good. I mean, the quality is good. You can't find a good quality anywhere, really. It's usually all the bootlegs are pretty crappy, but it's cheesy as heck. But man, I remember back in the day, I think it was in third grade when I came on, that was such a big deal. They had so many heroes on there, like just everybody and anybody. They didn't care. They just threw everything against the wall to see what would work, and it was just so much fun. So that's available on there. I'm trying to think. There's a lot of comics available on there. A lot of things only have issue one and nothing else, which seems kind of weird to me. Why not put at least put the first dozen or so issues? But like I said, the comics is kind of a hit or miss. They have a community on there, and that doesn't seem to work. If I click on the link for the community, it takes me to a page that doesn't exist. So that's still a bit of an issue. At $5 a month for the video that I get, it's worth it for me. Like a lot of that stuff I have on DVD or Blu-ray, but I enjoy, like Legion I never bought, so I'm enjoying watching that. I watched a couple of the Superboy episodes and they were really bad, but still, I kind of like them. It has the Superman movies on there. It has some, maybe not even half of the DC animated feature films, which I think is dumb. I think they should all be on there. Again, I'm not sure what the holdup is, if it's a licensing thing or what, but if you're going to make, your DC universe, your big, that's your big advertisement, but it's not really, because not everything's on there that they own. It's a work in progress. We'll see where it goes, and I'm sure that probably there's some licensing issues and whatnot with that make that, happen the way that it does. What else? I'm trying to think. There's plenty there to watch and keep you busy. But they do have a lot of the animated series on there, and some of the stuff that you can't. I know the other thing that's a big thing is they have Human Target on there. I love that show. It ran for two seasons. The first season is available on might be DVD on demand, and the second season is not available on disc anywhere. The only place I've been able to find the second season is I know for a fact iTunes has it, and I think Amazon Prime has it if you want to buy it by the episode. If you buy the whole season, it's kind of expensive, but so that's available on there as well. So as far as do I recommend it, at $5 a month, yeah, if you like all that video. If you just want the new shows, then you might want to wait a little while and maybe do a month. I think if you do it monthly, it's like $10 a month. Do a month, catch up on everything, and then drop it for a couple months, then do another month. If you want the comics, if you do a month and check it out and explore it and see what's on there, but just keep in mind what they don't tell you is that they pull those comics after a set amount of time. And like I said, I think that's a real downside. This is something that could have been a 5-star service, and because of the way that they're treating the content, I'm going to get 3. I'm glad that I'm trying it out. When my 15 months are up, hopefully they have all the kinks worked out and they have all the comics on there. If they have all the comics on there, I'll pay. I don't mind paying for it because it's just easy to read, easy to download on your iPad or your computer or whatever and read them. Even they will even work on your phone. They have their own kind of panel by panel thing that works pretty good. I do like that aspect, but if they're going to keep pulling them off there, that is definitely just seems silly to me, I'm not exactly sure I know you can download them. I'm not sure if it works like Marvel Unlimited, where you could download up to 12. And then if you wanted to read them, like you could read them until you can only do 12 at a time. I'm not exactly sure how it works with DC, because usually I'm at home when I read them. So I haven't tried that out yet. And I'm not sure if that's answered anywhere. I know that, there was, when they released a beta of it, you could run the app on test flight on your phone. If you have an iPhone, you can run on a test flight on your phone, your iPhone, and check it out and see what was working. And they were trying to work out some of the kinks. And I know at the time, I was having a couple issues, and I emailed them, and it took about a week for them to get back to me. But they did reply. They did respond to me. The developers did. But I think that was more the app developers and less of the content, you know, people who control the content, because I really would like to know what the game plan is behind the comics, why they just don't leave them on there. It just seems silly to me that they don't do that. Okay, so that's it. So I give it 3 out of 5. If you like that, if you like those, you know, those series and stuff like that, then, and if you're not worried about the comics, then I think if you want to watch those series, then it's probably worth it for the money, because as long as they're not going to pull that stuff off there, that's a good place to see a lot of the DC Universe stuff, especially the animated stuff. I mean, like Static Shock and stuff like that. That was a really good show. The DC animated stuff, I don't have much complaints about. It's all pretty good. I wish they put all their animated features on there and just put up a playlist of everything from the time they started to the current one. I understand if you want to have like a several-month gap between a disc release or a physical release or a stream, you know, by streaming release before you put it on your service. But I, you know, because they are offering us original content in the form of Titans, you know. But I wish that all the animated features were on there. I've said it before and I'll say it again. DC might not do their movies as well as some people would like. And, you know, they're obviously not as big of a hit as the Marvel films. But when it comes to the animated stuff, it is exact flip-flop. The Marvel animated stuff is just not good, and the DC animated features are fantastic. They don't pull any punches, and there's been a couple that haven't been great, but overall, I've enjoyed the heck out of all of them, and I love the content involved. Now, I wanted to talk about a Blu-ray box set, and if you guys have not, I'm gonna do a plug for my buddy Heath. He does a YouTube show called Zero at Midnight, also has a website, and he's really, you know, one of the first people I came across recently who's still really into physical media and still promoting it, you know. And, you know, he's now that, well, we're opposite in the fact that he doesn't really do anything streaming, and I do some streaming stuff, but I don't put all my eggs in a streaming basket for a lot of different reasons. Because if I buy the physical thing, then I own it. If I want to watch it, I just put it in and watch it. I don't have to wait to see if, like, oh, well, suddenly this company doesn't have the rights, so they pulled it off my account, or, you know, whatever silly little thing that they're going to do this week. But, you know, he's got a great show. He talks about the different stuff that he gets in and talks about bargain hunting and stuff like that. But we are of the same mind that we don't really care the format. Like, I know some people will be like, well, I only want to watch Blu-ray now, or I only want to watch 4K now. I don't really care as long as the format, as long as the show is good. You know, I don't really care about if it's DVD or Blu-ray. There are some things that obviously I'll upgrade because, not because the picture quality is so much better, but because a lot of times when they do a new one, they throw a whole bunch of extras in there. And do some other things as well, maybe some new commentaries and stuff like that. And I really do enjoy commentaries. I just, you know, I don't want to sit there and watch the thing all over. I'll tell you what I do with commentaries, okay? What I do with commentaries is, if I have the time, I rip them to an audio file, and then I put them on my phone, and I listen to them later on, like maybe during a run. It seems like, I know people just think I'm crazy because I listen to audiobooks and podcasts and commentaries while I'm running, but I just kind of get lost in it, and I really enjoy it. But if the movie's fresh in my mind and I rip the commentary, then that gives me something to do. It gives me some extra insight on what's happening. And I've done that with a couple shows. I did that for the first several episodes of Farscape. I was ripping all the commentaries and listening to them after the fact. I don't need the video in order to listen to what they're talking about. We're talking about, you know, putting things together. Now, I find film commentaries a little more fascinating than TV commentaries, because TV commentaries, they're literally commenting on what's on the screen. A lot of time with film commentaries, they kind of go off the rails and talk about, you know, what they had to do to produce a certain shot and things like that. And I'm real cool with that. It's kind of listening to people just talk about making the movie rather than talking about every scene that happens to be on the screen at the same time. So I kind of like that. But anyhow, so, you know, I'll upgrade for that matter. But, you know, I was talking, you know, I'm looking at my collection, and I was thinking about what sets have come out in the last however many years, you know, that have really blown my mind, that I thought have have really got it. They really did it right. And, you know, I'm going to talk about some that maybe aren't as great, but, you know, and it changes from, you know, day to day, week to week, how I'm feeling. But this one set has never, it's always the top of my list. It's always, you know, I haven't come across anything that has done it better. And that is the original series of Star Trek, the Blu-ray releases. They got this right the first time. That not only do we have the sets are nice, we have the new effects, which are nice, and they're done in a way that they have made them feel, even though they have updated the effects, they still look like they were from that time frame. So I enjoy those. The commentaries are all good. The extras are all good. And the show looks, I mean, it just looks fabulous. I mean, absolutely fabulous. They've done such a good job with it. And even the menus and stuff are well done. Sometimes they do menus on Blu-rays and they're kind of crappy. I think, you know, DVD menus were static and they kind of work for me. But sometimes Blu-rays, they try to put motion and all this other stuff in there, and they don't come together very well. They spend too much time on trying to make them look fancy rather than making them functional, and I feel as though Star Trek got it right. I have all three seasons of the original series on Blu-ray, and if you were going to buy a Blu-ray today and you're a fan of that show, I don't care if you have it on DVD or not, I'm telling you, these Blu-ray upgrades are well worth the money. And they're relatively inexpensive now compared to, I think you can buy all three seasons for like around $50 or $60, and I tell you, it's worth it. There's enough extras and everything on there to make it worthwhile. And a show like this that's iconic and has done so much for science fiction and science fiction television, and the writing is tight. You know, the episodes have messages. Some of them do, but they're not lazy about it. You know, that's one of my biggest complaints about TV today is like, if you want to have a political message, I'm not going to get worked up. I know some people get bent about it. I don't care about, you know, your political message. Like, I don't care that you want to put one in your show. That's fine. I get no problem with that. Whether I agree with you or not, as long as the story's good. But when you take your political message and you pound it so hard with a hammer that it's blatantly obvious, and it's so obvious that it takes away from the story, then I have an issue with it, because it's just lazy writing. It's lazy. There's no effort put into that. You have a political axe to grind, and you want to put that out there, and you don't want to entertain me, which is why I'm watching your show, to be entertained. I don't care about the political messages as long as they're done in a way that is savvy, you know, and makes and it gives me a story with it, you know. And I felt as though Trek really had that down. I mean, there were some that, you know, now you look at them, you're like, oh, obviously you can see what they were doing. But those same things that, 50 years ago, you know, 40 years ago, whatever, you know, you watch, maybe it wasn't so clear what they were trying to do. It was just good science fiction. You know, you were dealing with the future. You never knew what was going to happen, you know, things like that. So if you're going to buy a set today, I would say the Star Trek set is the way to go. I mean, they got it right. And I have several Blu-ray sets in there, and I'm going to talk about a couple more of them on here as time goes on, because I have some that have really, some that have really got it done right. Some that just were, for whatever reason, fascinate me. I mean, that's the hard part with trying to think about what's my favorite, you know, because it just depends on, maybe it has some kind of content, maybe it has some kind of story that I think is fantastic, you know what I mean? And not everybody else would, but I think Star Trek is kind of like, if you're listening to this show and you're a fan of science fiction, across the board, that is one of the ones that has really got it right. And they really did it right, and it's well worth the money spent on that. And that was several years ago. That was on my Christmas list. I wanted those sets, and they were kind of expensive. And I'm like, this is what I want for Christmas and my birthday. I want these sets. And I often go back to them, and every time I look at my collection and say, you know, what should I, you know, if I'm looking for something to watch, or I'm trying to think of like, man, what really was amazing, and that one's always the top of my list. They just got it right the first time, and there wasn't a problem with the discs, there wasn't a problem with the manufacturing, there, you know, everything came together real well. And man, 5 out of 5 stars on that, easy. Anyway, that's all I got to talk about this week. I said I was going to try to keep these under 30 minutes, and that indeed that is what I'm going to do. So I'm not sure what I'm going to talk about next time. I'm just going to let things go where they may. Until then, I'll talk to everybody next time. Over and out.